It was funny because when Pastor asked me to do it today, I got excited because there was no preparation, and I think we should always be ready to share our testimony.
Come on.
You know, the thing I asked God just for a verse. I was like, what is it? What do I need? You know, what is it, Lord? All of a sudden, oh, I'm going to be up there. I got to talk. What do I need? And so, but the verse in itself is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. It's, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now, to me, the testimony, our testimonies, it isn't, oh, what happened to me then, what happened to me here. God's an eternal God. Our testimony is a continuance.
Yeah.
It starts in the womb. I knew you when you were in the womb. And it ends when we see him face to face. There's no middle. This is our testimony. It's constant. It's growing. It never changes. God has the plan. He knows what our lives are supposed to be. And from the beginning, no matter where we are at the certain point of our lives, he's got it. He can change us. He can mold us in the beauty, the unfathomable beauty of the death on the cross, is that every day is a resurrection. Every time's a resurrection. He is constantly resurrecting us. He is constantly bringing the dead to life. He's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. To celebrate Easter today, yes, every day I need to wake up. I need to wake up and say, thank you. It's a resurrection day. You are resurrecting things in my life. You are bringing the dead back to life every day. And I will thank you and praise you for it. And I don't do that all the time, but I need to do that. Amen. Why is Easter the reminder for me to do that? Why? But it is today. And I have to think about it. And he said, well, tell your testimony. My testimony is the story of the dead. It's the day I died, physically died. But was that day the testimony? No, because it goes back. It spans. It goes all the way back. And where the story begins, I mean, it began at birth. But where this part of the story begins is in college. I'm in college. I'm young. And it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I could care less about God. He meant nothing to me. I grew up Catholic, and I had strayed away from it. And I had what I wanted in life. At this point in time, I was the president of my theater company. I had this whole theater. I was running the place. And I mean, I felt like I was king. I had everything I wanted. I'm the king of my domain. I'm the king of my life. And this is great. And it felt like you had this power. I was so happy with this power. But every day, there was this little girl, Shariah Cash. This little black girl. Really cute, really friendly. And she'd always come up to me and say, hey, you want to know about Jesus? No. No, I really don't. I'm okay.
Come on.
But this little girl was persistent. And in the course over a year, she must have said it 30 times. Hey, can we sit down and talk about Jesus? Yeah, whatever, honey. Yeah, okay. You know, I got it covered. I'm okay. I'm okay. So, boom, flash forward, we go years later. And I'm in New York City doing the actor thing, having a great time, living my life, not for God, anywhere near it. And I meet this girl from Colombia. And we go down to South America, and she's like a Miss Colombia. And so I'm living there for like 6 months, pick up the language. I'm just having the time of my life down there. And the next thing I know, I'm doing all this acting and modeling work. And we're like, you know, it's kind of like you're the celebrity guy out there. And there's this huge downtown square. And my picture, one of the modeling ads I did, is like on the side of the building. So as we go down the street all the time, I'm always seeing people I know because she's on all these posters and stuff. We walk down the street, we're always shaking everyone's hand, and we go into the town, and it was great. So the next day, I am to leave and go out to this island with 12 women to do an ad. There were 13 of us, me and 11 girls. To do this ad, a calendar ad. So I'm with a different girl every month. This is party night, baby, you know? There's nothing else I could have wanted. My God, you have delivered everything. So I'm going down the street, and we're having this little carnival night. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? So I come up to this one guy, and, you know, it's all, ¿Cómo estás, amigos? ¡Hey, bienvenidos! So I come up to this guy, and I come up, and I see him, and I stick my hand out, and the next thing I know, he's got this knife coming up to my neck. And I'm like, whoa! So I grab him, and I throw him to the ground. I'm, like, punching him in the head. And I hear my girlfriend scream in the back, and I turn back and look at her. And he's got a knife to her neck, and he's slitting across her neck to slit her jewelry off. She's got all this expensive jewelry. And he goes to slice her, and I get up, I get off the guy, and as I get up to go run after him, the guy that was below me that had the knife found the knife, picked it up, and rammed it through my chest into my heart. And I didn't know that I got stabbed, because the adrenaline's just boom, 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 boom. So I start running. I'm running after this guy, and I get about 5 feet away from her, and I just drop down on my knees. And I could feel the blood starting to trickle out. And I look down, and just the blood's gushing down. It's running down into the sidewalk and stuff. And I get up, and I kind of stumble over, like I'm one of these tables. And I just go, and I'm over the table. And in an instant, I'm like 50 feet above my body. And I could just see my body there. Now, I'm not saved. I must remind you that. So the words that were coming out of my mouth, looking at my body, were not clean words. I was like, get up, you! Get up! Get up! Get up! And I'm cursing at myself, and I'm swearing at myself. And I just keep getting higher off my body. I'm like, whew, this ain't good. And it starts hitting me. I'm like, oh my God, I'm dead. I can't believe I'm dead. 26 years old, freaking dead. And I'm looking, and then you start freaking out. I'm like, oh. And I got scared, really, really scared. It was just complete silence. Just like it is now, you couldn't hear. But I couldn't hear nothing. There was no air conditioner. There was no hum. There was just nothing. And as sure as I'm talking to you, these next words come in, and I hear them clear. I hear them like I'm talking to you. You're not going to die. You have a lot to learn. Boom! I'm back in my body. Like that. These two guys come, pick me up, pick my body off the ground, and start, you know, trying to haul me to an ambulance or something. And I'm like, and I just, and this blood ball, like the size of a golf ball, pops out when I could breathe again, you know? And I catch a breath, and I'm like, and I, you know, this is blood just coming out of me. And so they put me in a taxi, and they took me to the hospital. And I get to the hospital, I'm talking about primitive hospitals. The guy takes a straw, like a mink straw, throws it into the wound where the cut was and starts blowing. I'm just lying there, and all I see is blood squirting up. Boom, I was out. And that was it. I was out, I woke up like the next day, a couple days later, and I mean, it was just gnawing at me. Not gonna die, you got a lot to learn. Who's talking to me? Why is he talking to me? Well, what is this thing? And I mean, I couldn't let go. People are like, no, like God's talking. No, God, it was God. I know it was God. There is a God. He's a living God. He's not a God of the resurrection. He's talking to me. He can talk to me. Amen. And it gnawed and gnawed and gnawed at me. And everyone's, you're crazy. God doesn't talk to people. You're in South America. This is not, he's not that God. And I'm like, he is. And so I get back to New York City where I was before. And it was funny because I was on top of the world. All this money and everything. That stabbing wiped me out. I was down to zero. To zero. Everything was wiped out. I got back to New York. My apartment was gone. I was homeless. And I'm walking down the street. And oh, God. Oh, you're real? You're real? If you're real, you say something, man. You know, you talk to me now. You want to talk to me then? Talk to me now. I'm like, what are these crazy guys just walking down the street? Not, talk to me! Talk to me! And I hear, ding, diddling, 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 ding, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I swear, this is what I hear. And I'm like, huh? So I just start walking to the sound. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm walking to this thing, and I go down, and it's this basement of this church called One Accord Church in New York City. And I walk into the basement, and the praise band's rehearsing. And I just look at the guys like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And as soon as he looks at me walking in the church like a crazy man, he goes, he's here! I'm like, what? He's here. He's like, yeah, man, you know, we were all getting ready to leave, and the Holy Spirit just told us, keep playing, someone's coming. You got to take care of this. So we've been playing for a half hour, man, waiting for you. And I'm like, all right, this is too coincidental that this Holy Spirit thing. I got to know about this. I got to know. So the kicker, when it comes back to how your testimony is this whole thing, the kicker is I get back to my old apartment. I'm going through the mail. Months. I was gone 6 months. Well, more than 6 months. South America. Piles and piles of mail. Going through the mail, and I see this personalized letter. And it's, open it up, and I'll show it to you guys. It has, these are the words, and she crossed out, that the Holy Spirit wanted me to give you. I don't want you to die without Jesus. And it's dated the day I got stabbed in South America. And it's from the little girl who used to preach to me. Never seen her. Have no idea where she is. Still haven't talked to her. And hadn't seen her in 5 years or kept in touch with her for 5 years before that. So I don't know how she tracked me down. I mean, this Holy Spirit, this thing is powerful. That dropped me to my knees. I mean, it was like, it's time to get born again. You know, I got to know what this stuff is about. And that's how I got saved. That's how this whole thing happened. So, right? I mean, it's just so humbling. Now me, I'm an extreme case because I'm so stubborn-headed, you know? But the thing is, God is not a respecter of persons. He didn't go that far for me not to go that far for you, you know? He didn't. It's happening. Your testimony is this beginning, middle, and end. It's still going. Things that are happening to you now are all part of this testimony. The completeness will come when we see Him face to face. For we know in part. We only know this little part now. We're looking in the mirror, we're seeing this life, and I could look in the mirror and go, oh, that was my testimony, but no, there's greater things. You know, for all of us, this church, for everything we're doing, it's not this little sliver of time, it's eternity. He's building that in us. So every little thing, don't ever think that you going to someone and saying, let me talk to you about Jesus, is a moment spent in vain, no matter what they say to you, no matter what they do to you. Because you don't know how that's going to turn out. She doesn't know! She doesn't know she saved my life. She still does not know. How many lives can we save? How many people are we going to touch when the Holy Spirit's prompting us to do something? Every day is a resurrection day. We're constantly being resurrected. I have to think to myself, let's go resurrect others. We have that in us. Let's, what is it? If it's just a word, Jesus loves you. Who knows what that's going to do to someone? We don't know. If it's a letter, if it's a word, if it's anything, I just have to get in a spot where it's like, thank you, God, for going so far for me. I know you're going that far for everyone else, too. So how can I be a part of that? How can I be a part of completeness today? How can I be a part of the whole picture? 90 Minutes in Heaven, that movie 90 Minutes in Heaven, I worked on all the behind-the-scenes stuff in that. So I got a lot with Don Piper and was able to see a lot of the stuff he did. And it was interesting because it didn't make it in the behind the scenes. I always wanted to put it in. Couldn't find a place because I only had like 2 days to put this together. But he died. He said when he got killed in the car accident, he went directly to see the Father. I did not. I was like, really, Grace? But the words that he said that I always kind of keep sticking with me, he said, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. He saw him face to face because he was ready. So next time I go, man, I want face-to-face immediate. There's no tunnel. There's no nothing. Amen. You know? So if we can strive at heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. I have to prepare. How can I prepare today? And I do it all the time. I'm like so guilty of it. Of like not being, you know, oh, am I prepared today? How am I prepared? How am I prepared to share my testimony? Or what is it that's weighing me down today? That's just like this thing. It's just like, you know, the thorns that Paul had in his side that are holding me back from this fullness, from taking a step into completeness. You know? So I guess that's my testimony. I didn't take any more time, but this is, it's for all of us, you know? Amen. Everyone's testimony is for everyone, and we're all part of the completeness of the body. So, that's it.